Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us in authentic narration, لَنْ يُنَجِّيَ أَحَدًا مِنْكُمْ عَمَلُهُ. None of you are going to be saved by your deeds. Then the Sahaba, they went on to ask, قَالُوا وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Not even you, O Messenger of Allah. وَقَالَ, and he said, وَلَا أَنَا إِلَّا أَنْ يَتَغَمَّدِنِيَ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ. Not even me, unless and except if Allah Ta'ala enshrouds me with His mercy. This is a very comforting hadith to the believer. I'm sure there are many people who are constantly in a state of anxiety. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I need to do better. I should improve myself. And of course we should improve ourselves, but it can become burdensome. It can get to a point where you are stressing out, why am I not better? Why am I not improving? Why am I not getting faster, stronger, and constantly getting rid of every evil and then improving and excelling in every good? And subhanAllah, sometimes you need to calm down and relax and remember something. Remember that at the end of the day, paradise is not attained by checking off enough boxes, by saying, I did enough of my prayers and I did enough of my fasting and enough of my worship. Of course, we must do all these things. Certainly, if you are sincere, you're going to try. You're going to strive for Allah Ta'ala, 100%. The sincere believer wants to do good and is always in a state of improvement. But at no point is he saying to himself, I need to be perfect. I need to somehow develop myself into an angel. I haven't reached perfection, and therefore I'm constantly under this crushing guilt and blame. No, instead, of course you try, you work on yourself, you improve, you obey Allah as much as you can, you try to please Allah with whatever you do. However, you also accept the fact that it won't be your deeds. It's only through Allah Ta'ala's mercy that you will be forgiven and enter into paradise. And so the Prophet ﷺ continues and says something very beautiful in the very same hadith. The Prophet ﷺ continues and says, سددوا وقاربوا وغدوا وروحوا وشيء من الدلجة والقصد القصد تبلغوا. The Prophet ﷺ says, so based on this fact, based on the fact that it's not about your deeds only, it's about depending upon Allah Ta'ala, how should then I behave with regards to my actions? Saddidu, aim. Take aim towards what you want to do that's right. Waqaribu, and move towards it. Get closer, inch by inch, step by step. Aim, figure out what you want to do and how you want to be a righteous person and move towards that. And then what? Waghdu, waruhu, wa shay'un min ad-dulja. Three different times of the day he mentions. He encourages us to get closer to Allah Ta'ala in the early morning after Fajr, in the evening time after Asr, before sunset, and then in the last third of the night. And then the Prophet ﷺ continues and says, moderation, moderation, and you're going to make it. Be moderate. Don't go to extremes. Don't quit on yourself, and at the same time, don't burn yourself out. Moderation, step by step. Al-qasd, al-qasd. Moderation, moderation. Tablughu. You're going to reach. You'll get there. You'll get to paradise, inshallah ta'ala. What are these three times in reference to? Allah knows best, but it seems to be encouragement of times to get closer to the Qur'an. Instances where you want to open up the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and read. Get closer to your Lord. Why? Because we know after Salat al-Fajr, it's a very encouraged time. When the sun is just starting to come up, if you have the time, if you are able to, if you don't have work for the next little while, you have some time to spend with the book of Allah, then do so. And after work, spending some time with your family now, sun's about to go down, things are calming down, what should you do? Again, this is an excellent opportunity to get closer to Allah Ta'ala by reading His book, by understanding His words and getting closer to Allah through contemplation. And then of course, in the last third of the night, if you are able to wake up, make wudu and pray a few raka'ah, then inshallah, whatever Qur'an you have been going over and reciting and memorizing, whatever you have, try to use that Qur'an in those very intimate moments with your Lord. Do so, but don't burden yourself. You might not be able to do all three times in a day. Maybe you're more of a morning person, maybe you're more of an evening person. Maybe it's easy for you to wake up in the middle of the night. The point is what? Don't overburden yourself by trying to do everything all the time. Al-qasd, al-qasd. Little by little. Step by step. And what's going to happen? You'll get there eventually. You know, sometimes it's amazing. We have all kinds of stresses, all kinds of frustration, all kinds of problems in our lives, and we're wondering where's the solution, and sometimes the solution is right in front of you. One example that I came across that I thought was quite funny was the fact that human beings have known about the wheel for a long time, right? incredible invention and ingenuity. The wheel has been with us for what, thousands of years. And human beings have been using suitcases for an extremely long period of time as well, right? Wrapping stuff up and carrying your things. Did you know that the first time a person actually put a wheel on a suitcase was actually in 1970? 1970, it's not that very long ago. So for so much of human history, we got suitcases and we got wheels, but nobody thought to put the two together. Even more humorous is the fact that we were able to put a man on the moon the year before that, 1969. So putting a person on the moon, that was something that is an incredible achievement, brilliant. Doesn't really affect us though. But then it takes another year for someone to say, why don't we just put wheels on suitcases? That affects everybody. It's gonna make life so much easier. So the solution is right in front of you. It was right there, but sometimes we don't see it. And so what am I getting at? My point is that a Muslim already knows that the Quran is an endless source of guidance, an endless source of wisdom and blessings. We already know this. And we know that the Prophet ﷺ and his Sunnah reflects that same fountain and source of blessing, to the point that the Prophet ﷺ was a literal blessing. He would go on expeditions with the Sahaba, and even if they just had a small jug of water and their water was running out, he'd place his hand inside the jug and then pour out the water, and subhanAllah, this was multiplying the water in such a way where so many people would be able to drink, make wudu. Even in some reports, hundreds or even thousands of people are able to even fill up their jugs. Why? Because this is the miracle of prophethood. And what does it represent? When Anas ibn Malik is reporting, فَرَأَيْتُ الْمَاءِ يَنْبَعُ مِنْ تَحْتِ أَصَابِعِهِ حَتَّى تَوَضَّعُوا مِنْ عِنْدِ آخِرِهِمْ. I was there, I was watching as one after the other, everybody's coming and making wudu, washing up, and just one jug just keeps pouring. I saw this blessing myself. What is this supposed to represent? The lesson is that there are endless blessings when it comes to the Quran and Sunnah, when it comes to this deen. There's an infinite, endless amount of teachings and rewards that you can get. So why do we limit ourselves? Why do we look at the Quran as something that I read rarely, something that I memorize just a little bit of? I maybe sit in a tafsir class just a little bit and then miss the rest. Why? When instead we can take this Quran and keep extracting from it so much. Unfortunately, we are not using our most precious commodity. What is our most precious commodity? Some people say, well, I got this much money, or I got this much whatever. There may be many different things that you could point to, but subhanAllah, it seems that the most precious commodity is what? It's your attention. Why? Pay attention to how much advertisement companies, advertisement industries, they want to get your attention. They want to make sure that you click and keep clicking, because they know that your attention is where your head is at, is where your heart is at, and is where eventually your money is going to go. It influences hearts and minds, and therefore they can influence political movements, they can influence the flow of finance, they can influence anything. As long as I have human beings' attention, then the possibilities are endless. We know that a healthy family is a family that makes time for one another, because attention is what keeps the love alive. We know that the therapy industry is a thriving industry. Why? Because people have such short attention spans these days that they really don't listen to each other much anymore. Before, people would have large families that would sit together and talk for long hours. Now everybody's so distracted that you have to pay someone a large amount of money to say, listen, can you just look at me and actually focus? Can I really get your attention for even 1 hour? I'll pay, but just please listen to me. We know that the highest ajr that you can get is when you are sincere to Allah, meaning that you're giving your full attention to your prayer. You have ikhlas and khushu' during your dua, when you're reading the Quran and so forth. And we know that when you're able to call someone to Islam and they embrace Islam, you give them da'wah and they actually become Muslim, this is the greatest attainment. But what really does it mean? It means that this person finally has accepted that they need to give attention to their Creator instead of just focusing on the creation. So in all of these examples, the point is the same. Attention is such a precious commodity. Now take a second to realize how much you waste your attention on the most useless games, on the most useless information. Here is a quick tip, a simple principle that hopefully will help. If a video online becomes viral overnight, there's a very good chance it'll become irrelevant the next day, right? We know this. If gossip is spreading around in your circles and it's super enticing today, there's a very good chance that it'll be extremely boring next week. Even bringing it up, people will be like, that's old news. Who cares? Even to the point, a book that has been popular for the past few years is only likely to be popular for the next few years. However, a book that has been popular for the past 1,000 years is most likely going to still be popular in the next 1,000 years. Do you guys understand the point? That's a very important concept. If something has already withstood the test of time, then that is something that is deserving of your attention. And most things don't withstand the test of time at all. Viral video, thousands, millions of views immediately, and now nobody cares. Feels weird. Oh, it's like a couple weeks old. Why would I even click on it? Waste of time. So we get so enticed by the things that are immediate. Meanwhile, we know we can look back on the past year, 2 years, 5 years, and say, how much of this gossip, how much of this content have I consumed that was entirely useless? Meanwhile, of all the books that have lasted, we know that there's nothing like the Quran. It has lasted the test of time and it will continue to last the test of time. Why? Because فضل كلام الله على سائر الكلام كفضل الله على خلقه. Because the virtue of Allah's speech over any other speech is like the virtue of Allah Ta'ala over His creation. That's how much more superior it is. Can you compare the Creator to the creation? Of course not. So can you compare the Quran to all the gossip that goes around in general life? Not even close. Allah Ta'ala says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولو أن قرآنا سيرت به الجبال أو قطعت به الأرض أو كلم به الموتى بل لله الأمر جميعا. If there was any Quran by which the mountains would be removed or the earth would be broken apart or the dead would be made to speak, it would be this Quran. And to Allah belongs the affair entirely. That this is the Quran, this is the speech of Allah that can move mountains, that can shake and tremble the earth, that can revive dead hearts. This is an incredible book. Take the time to make this Quran part of your life. But unfortunately, even when we make time to read a Quran, the style in which we read is problematic because the focus is somewhere else. We're still thinking about the games that we were playing. We're still thinking about the people we were hanging out with. We're still thinking about the transactions and the money we want to make. Even though our time is with the Quran, our mind is somewhere else. And all we're thinking about is finishing that surah. All we're thinking about is how nice we sound. All we're thinking about is, can I lead the prayer and impress? But in terms of the meaning, in terms of taking one's time and actually absorbing this book, subhanAllah, this seems to be quite rare. Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه, he said, لا تنثروه نثر الدقن ولا تهذوه هذا الشعر. Don't scatter this Quran as if there's like falling dates from a tree, like just sort of chucking it around like it's nothing. And don't recite it quickly like you're reciting poetry. Don't treat it like anything else. قفوا عند عجائبه. Instead, take your time. Stop at each of its amazing features. Take your time and let it amaze you. وَحَرِّكُوا بِهِ الْقُلُوبِ. Allow it to shake your heart. وَلَا يَكُنْ هَمُّ أَحَدِكُمْ آخِرِ السُّورَةِ. And don't let any of you, don't let it be the case that your biggest concern is just to finish. This is the objective. The objective is to allow your mind to be shaped by the Qur'an. Why? Because when you allow your mind to be shaped by the Qur'an, you become a deep thinker. And if you observe deeply, everything is your teacher. This is the amazing quality of the Qur'an. The Qur'an transforms your mind so that you see the world with a different lens. And now everything can become a lesson. Everything can become your teacher. This is the blessing that the Qur'an has when you actually take the time to think about it. Not just recite it quickly, not just burn through it, but to actually contemplate and think about it. When you take the time to think about the Qur'an, you'll be thinking about it, its lessons and its wisdom. And after you're done reading it, you're gonna say to yourself, I wanna get back to it. Even though I'm at work, I'm still thinking about those ayat. Even though I'm driving, I'm still thinking about, when can I get back to my Qur'an? When can I get back to reading? When can I get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When is my next session scheduled? This is a beautiful quality to have. Somebody who has that eagerness and that excitement to be a companion of the Qur'an. And this is exactly why when the Prophet ﷺ was asked, Ya Rasulullah, Ayyul amali ahabu ila Allah? O Messenger of Allah, what is one of the greatest deeds, most beloved deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? His response was what? Al-halu al-murtahil. Al-halu al-murtahil. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, wa mal halul murtahil? What does that mean? We're not sure what that means. He says, قال الذي الذي يضرب من أول القرآن إلى آخره كلما حل ارتحل. It means the one who finishes and then departs, or he comes home and then he leaves. And so what does this imply? He explains and says, every time you read through the Qur'an and you finish, you start your journey again. And then you finish, then you start your journey again. When you have that excitement and that desire to keep starting and you're never done with the Qur'an, this is one of the most beloved deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll continue in the second khutbah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam kathira. Bismillah, bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. The month of Ramadan is fast approaching. We know that the month of Ramadan is a very busy month. And oftentimes, you're so busy thinking about your food schedule, your iftar schedule, who you're going to be visiting, and when you're going to make time for the masjid. It becomes such a social month that even though you're spending time listening to the Qur'an, or maybe even reading the Qur'an, it could be the case that you're not spending time actually calming down and contemplating and thinking about deeply the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should remember that reading the Qur'an with its meaning, this is of the greatest deeds. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah says, قِرَاءَةُ الْقُرْآنِ أَفْضَلُ الذِّكْرِ إِذَا عُمِلَ بِهِ. That reading the Qur'an is of the best types of dhikr, best types of adhkar, remembering Allah ta'ala in the most beautiful way, if you act by it. It's not just reading it and burning through it. It's reading it and thinking about it and contemplating it. This is the month before the month of Ramadan, inshallah. And because of that, things are still calm. You still have a moment to develop a schedule where you can spend some time with the Qur'an, not just to get through it, not just, okay, how many pages every day so I can finish? No, no. I want to take my time and really think about it. I want to think about it so that even when I close it, I'm still thinking about it. And I'm thinking about getting back to it. This is a sincere and genuine kind of reading of the Qur'an. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah says, اعلم أن تلاوة القرآن هي أفضل الأذكار المطلوب القراءة بالتدبر. He says, know that reciting the Qur'an is the best of remembrances, and what's intended by this statement is recitation with contemplation. So subhanAllah, you find that our ulama, they wanted to highlight this point because they saw the issue. How many people, they recite, but they don't have the intent to understand. And this is one of the greatest tricks of shaitan. I mean, it only works with the Qur'an. If somebody at work, non-Muslim, just told you, oh, I'm reading such and such book, it's such a great book. I don't know, Harry Potter or something else. Just pick some random book that's popular. And you go, oh, really? Yeah, but I'm reading in a language I don't understand. You'd be so shocked. What? Yeah, I'm reading it in German. I don't speak German, but I thought I would. You'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, what? What are you talking about? But at the same time, as strange as that might be, when somebody says, oh, I'm reading through the whole Qur'an, I don't understand, but I just have this intent to keep reading. For some reason, the mind seems to not operate in the same capacity. Look, the Qur'an sounds beautiful. The Qur'an can be written with calligraphy in the most beautiful way. But at the end of the day, beautiful calligraphy and beautiful voices is not the objective. These are words and ideas meant to impact the heart, to impact hearts and minds. What really counts isn't how far you've reached in the Qur'an, but how far the Qur'an has reached inside of you. You want the Qur'an to have a transformative effect. You want it to affect you in a deep way. Every surah that you memorize is changing your personality and improving it for the better. Amr ibn al-As, rahimahullah, has a beautiful quote. مَنْ جَمْعَ الْقُرْآنَ فَقَدْ حَمَلَ أَمْرًا عَظِيمًا. Whoever has memorized the Qur'an has gathered together a great thing. This is a big deal. Don't just memorize, and think this is nothing. No, this is huge. Why? لَقَدْ أُدْرِجَتْ النُّبُوَّةَ بَيْنَ كَتِفَيْهِ غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ لَا يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. Why? Because he has gathered this Qur'an, this revelation, this prophethood, nubuwwah. He has gathered it between his two shoulders, despite the fact that it wasn't revealed to him. So in the same way that the Qur'an came to the heart of the Prophet ﷺ, it's coming to your heart as well. But you're not a prophet. So isn't that amazing that you have such a quality? فَلَا يَنْبَغِي لِحَامِلِ الْقُرْآنِ أَنْ يَحِدَّ مَعَ مَنْ يَحِدْ. So it's not appropriate that somebody who's carrying the Qur'an loses his temper like those who lose their temper. وَلَا يَجْهَلْ مَعَ مَنْ يَجْهَلْ. Or he acts ignorantly like those who act ignorantly. لِأَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ فِي جَوْفِهِ. Why? Because the Qur'an is inside of him. It's not appropriate to be acting in some strange way, bizarre way, as if you're just one of the regular, I'm one of the guys. No, you're a half of the Quran. It's a bit different. The Quran should affect your speech. As Yahya ibn Mu'ad, rahimahullah, said, Al-qulubu kal-quduri fi-s-sudur, that hearts are like containers in the chest. تغلي بما فيها ومغارفها ألسنتها, that they overflow, these containers can overflow, and the edges that pour over are like the tongues. Imagine a big container. This is the heart filling up, and then when it gets completely full and it pours over, that's the tongue speaking. So what does he go on to say? فانتظر الرجل حتى يتكلم فإن لسانه يغترف لك ما في قلبه من بين حلو أو حامض. So he says, so wait for a man to speak and you're going to hear his tongue dish out the contents of his heart, be it sweet or sour. So yeah, the tongue is the window into the soul. You get to see what the person really is, who they really are. And therefore, if you have the Quran in your heart, that is what should be coming out. In conclusion, many of us, we think about the blessings that we have in our lives and we rank these different blessings and say, I'm so grateful for this and that and this possession, that possession, all the different things that we own and all the different opportunities that we have. But we should remember that the real luxuries in life are the free time that we have, our health, a quiet mind, rest without guilt, a good night's sleep, a calm day, people who you love and people who love you back, a meaningful conversations, and a genuine connection to your Lord. These are the true blessings in life. These are the things that money can't buy. These are the things that are priceless. So the month of Ramadan is coming. It is going to be a busy month. Let's develop a routine where we have quiet time with the Quran, not rushed time, not time where you're trying to finish so quickly. No. If you have any blessings in your life, then try to develop your home in such a way where there is quiet time with the Quran. And if your family can do this together, then these conversations will become blessed conversations. Then these relationships will become blessed relationships. Make time for reflection, for pondering, and for deep appreciation of Allah Ta'ala's guidance. So we ask Allah, Ya Allah, let this Quran transform our thinking. Ya Allah, let this Quran transform our speech and improve our goals and our behavior and our relationships and our priorities and our routines and our homes and our earnings and our spending and our lives and our deaths. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma hadina fi man hadait. وعافينا في من عافيت وتولنا في من توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت باركت ربنا وتعاليت ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم كثيرا وأقم الصلاة